Morning. The scripture is from Matthew 25, 31 through 40. And today I'm reading from the Revised Standard Version. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep at his right hand, but the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see thee hungry and feed thee, or thirsty and give thee drink? And when did we see thee a stranger and welcome thee, or naked and clothe thee? And when did we see thee sick or in prison and visit thee?" And the king will answer them, "Truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So we just had a conversation about human kings and king-like situations and use of the word king. And now I would like to look at kings as we see them in scripture, because scripture is full of kings. We don't have a king at the very beginning. We have Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel, and we know what happened with all of that. And but later on, there are some kings that appear. And one of the images that comes up pretty early on is that the people of Israel, the people who are led by God, look around them and see that everybody else has a king. And part of their concern might be that if the other nations are doing well, you know, the grass is greener on the other side, then maybe it's because they have a king and we don't. So we should have a king. And so, they tell Samuel, who tells God, that they want to have a king. And Samuel, for God, says, this isn't a great idea. This is really not a great idea. These are the things that are going to happen if you have a king. And so he proceeded to tell them some of the things that that both we were talking about with human kings, and also some of the things that we read actually did happen, particularly in the reign of Solomon and beyond that. I mean, even the good kings didn't always get it right. However, the people did have a king, and the first king that they had was Saul, and that was not an outstanding success. And then they got King David. And King David was the epitome of the king of Israel. I mean, David just got it all right, except for when he didn't. And he had some big times when he didn't. But David started out, interestingly, not as the son of any royal family, but as the youngest son of an obscure person, fairly obscure person. And he, because he was the youngest son and because he was in the family that he was, his job was to be a shepherd. And so here's this kid out taking mission, but he's taking care of the sheep, and he does that very well. And he does it by fighting off the predators, by caring for the sheep, by doing all the things that a shepherd is supposed to do. Now, his family owns the sheep, so he's not just the caretaker, but the actual owner of the sheep, or part of the family that owns the sheep. And so he does become a warrior before he becomes a king. And he's, as warriors go, he's mostly pretty honorable. He was generally on the defensive, and he was very clever, and he didn't take unfair advantage even when he had the opportunity. So he's a pretty good warrior. He was very popular. He was also a musician, so he had that skill, and ultimately he did become king. And the longer he was king, the more things kind of went downhill for him. But still, he was always the prototype. Saul maybe was the prototype, but he didn't quite make the cut. But David was it. There's mention of kings in the prophets. One of them is Isaiah. Think if nothing else, Isaiah talks about the coming Messiah as the Prince of Peace. He's using that royal language. And one of them is Ezekiel. And this is pretty interesting because Ezekiel in chapter 34 talks about shepherds. And he's talking to the kings and the priests of Israel. That's frequently who the prophets were talking to, the kings and the priests. And he talks about the sheep and how there are some sheep that are bigger and tougher and meaner and perhaps better organized, and they take over. They take on the position of shepherd, if you will, of king, if you will. And what they do is very unkind. They go down to the water hole and they drink all the water, and then they trample around so that the water that's left is no good for the other sheep who are not as strong and can't get there. They push and they shove and they get their way, and they totally disregard the other sheep. And what Ezekiel says is that God tells the sheep, especially these sheep, "I myself will be the shepherd, and I will make them lie down," it's like Psalm 23, "and I will seek the lost, and I will bring them back, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak." The fat and the strong, they're going to get justice. They're going to find out what it is to be pushed and shoved. And finally, Ezekiel says, "For God, I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David." Now, this is long after the time of David, and so he means a descendant of David. "And he shall feed them and be their shepherd, and the Lord will be their God. And my servant David shall be prince among them." So this shepherd image tied up with the king image is pretty prevalent. In fact, we see it all the way through. We see it in the parables of Jesus. We see it in Revelation. And the remarkable thing where we see it in Revelation is that the shepherd is the lamb who was slain. So this connection of sheep with shepherd is very strong all the way through. How can a sheep also be the shepherd? How does that work? Another place we see a lot about kings in scripture is in the parables. Jesus uses kings frequently in parables. And if not kings, it's somebody in a king-like position, a landowner, a rich man, somebody in a position of power who rules, controls. And what's interesting is to look at how those king representatives, those king figures, behave in the parables. They call the servants together, give them resources, money, whatever, and says, "I'm going away and you're in charge. You're in charge of using these resources to the best of your ability to do the most good." We see the king person having a banquet, and inviting not just his fancy friends who are going to have a banquet in turn and invite him back, but everybody, the poor and the lame, and everybody, just go out the fields and bring them all in. Everybody, all of them. We see the king expecting good service from his servants, obedience. And we see the king taking care of his subjects, of his sheep. That's what we see in Matthew, which again is a parable. The kingdom of heaven is like this. It's like sorting the sheep from the goats. And by now we know that we are sheep or we are goats. And the goats were often in the sheep folds combined with the flock of sheep because the goats were smarter. So the goats were often like assistant shepherds because they were helpful to the sheep. The goats could also be mean, just like the sheep in Ezekiel. And so this king, this judge, is separating them. And he separates them, he calls them the sheep and the goats, but he separates them not on the basis of that so much as on the basis of what they have done and how they have done it. I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was sick, and you came to visit me. And the sheep, the ones who did this, they're surprised. Well, gosh, I don't remember that. When did that happen? I have no memory of even encountering you before. How did that happen? It was completely unaware. They were just being who they were. They were just doing the right thing to do. And so, of course, he says, whenever you are kind to any of my children, to any of my sheep, you are being kind to me. That's how closely I identify with them. And of course, the other part of the scripture is when you failed to do those kind things, then you also failed me. You were not being a good steward of the gifts of kindness and compassion that I have given you. It's not really about kings, but one of the great lines of literature, and we're talking about comic book literature here again, is with great power comes great responsibility. And I imagine most of you know who said that, or at least who heard it first and then said it later. With great power comes great responsibility. That's the message here. The kings have power, the kings have wealth, the kings have servants, and it is their responsibility to use them for the good of others. Notice that when Jesus talks about separating the sheep from the goats, it's separating one from another. He's paying attention to each individual there. You personally fed me when I was hungry. You personally clothed me when I was cold. You personally, one by one, he goes through them all. That's one thing that kings cannot do. They may be ruling over gigantic empires, Roman Empire, British Empire, whatever. They don't know every single person. They may know a lot. Mostly they know the people who are in government, in the royal families, in leadership in the armies. They don't know the ordinary people who are giving food to the hungry or who are hungry. It's a different attitude towards kingship. It's a different kind of king than we're used to seeing. When I asked you all about kings, you talked about all these human kings, and sometimes they do things that are good, and sometimes they do things that are not good. And they have all this power, but they're all limited by humanity. And Ezekiel talks about one sheep versus another sheep. And the thing about Jesus as king is, Jesus is not just sitting at the right hand of God the whole time. Jesus came to be one of the sheep. He was a sheep right along with the rest of us. He knows what it's like to be hungry. He knows what it's like to be cold. He knows what it's like to be pushed around. And so our King, Christ the King, on this Christ the King Sunday, our King is the one who is not just the King, the Creator, but my King, the one who knows me and pays attention to me and cares for me. The one with whom I am personally related, that's the kind of king that God is, that Jesus is, and that we all need. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.